Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
The world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. All right, let's get it rolling. Arizona sports fans, good morning. Happy Thursday, a Thursday that is going to be full of playoff energy.
Going to be full of something.
Playoff energy, Vinny. Yesterday I saw Bill Belichick wearing a cutoff hoodie that said Danger Zone on it Top Gun.
A huge Top Gun fan.
But that kind of set my mood for the playoffs. When Bill Belichick is wearing statement hoodies,
imagine
I'm here for it.
Imagine a Top Gun remake with Bill Belichick as
good,
Lieutenant Pete Mitchell.
Wouldn't that be good? To kind of like,
I feel the need.
You know, we're speed. Onto the Pacific Ocean.
You never close your eyes anymore.
I don't like volleyball.
When I kiss your lips.
I don't like volleyball. All right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so there we go.
Speaking of which, that sequel has been coming out for about 3 years, it feels like.
It's finally coming out, I believe, late spring, early summer this year.
It's been delayed for like two years.
It's been in the can for a long time.
Which means it's perfectly god-awful.
I'm excited about it.
Look, unpopular take here for people of my generation. The first movie was pretty much garbage.
I didn't like it either.
I mean, we all loved it when it first came out. It's one of those movies you rewatch. And
yeah.
Maverick is just a class A.
Oh,
Delta Bravo in every single way.
The movie's full of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was not ever like a fan of that.
I want to see how he's evolved over the last 30 years, mm-hmm. though.
Mm-hmm. Has he grown? Has he gone to therapy?
He has not grown. Have you seen Tom Cruise? I know that.
He's still 5'6".
Yeah.
Touche.
Okay.
Playoff energy.
That's your daily movie Hollywood update.
Let me say this, though, about the playoff energy.
Yeah.
And I heard it, and it really hit home when Sarah, in her update before the show, said, we're 4 days away from the game. It's Thursday. We should be, you know, headlong into a weekend. Like, the closer we get to the game, the more I hate the fact that there's a Monday night playoff.
Do you really?
I really hate it. And if things don't go well for the Cardinals, that's the lasting impression of the wild card weekend that they didn't play well.
I'm all for it because it means we're going to have a couple of different Big Red Mondays. We're going to have one on Monday. We're going to have one on Tuesday. I like the fact that I can absorb every other playoff game without having to devote work energy to covering the Cardinals. I'm kind of embracing this. I may feel differently by the end of the weekend.
I'm kind of embracing it. It's going to be weird to do this whole week and get to the Friday show,
mm-hmm.
get through the weekend, start Monday, and the Cardinals haven't played.
My end of show prediction will be that there will be a game in a couple of days.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get it rolling.
And I'll be right about that prediction for the first time all year.
Are you going to shave anytime soon, Jarrett?
The Splash.
Splash.
What for?
The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
I don't know. I kind of like the beer, Jared.
No, I think it's getting woolly now.
Yeah, it's getting a little woolly. Wild and woolly.
The Arizona Cardinals back on the practice field today, starting preparation for their super wild card weekend matchup in Los Angeles against the Rams on Monday night. Head coach Cliff Kingsbury yesterday confirmed that J.J. Watt will be on the field today as he attempts to come back from a shoulder injury he suffered in week 7. Watt himself spoke to the media yesterday, said he doesn't want to be a detriment to the team, so he's only going to give it a go if he doesn't have any limitations. Kingsbury also did say there's no chance wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins will play as he continues rehabbing his knee injury. I don't even know where that came from.
I mean, we saw the injury. He's on crutches. He's not playing football. All right, let's go on.
That could have just been gamesmanship, though.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right.
Everything is gamesmanship these days. The opponent, the L.A. Rams, made headlines yesterday. They signed free agent safety Eric Weddle to their practice squad. The Rams are thin at safety because of the injury to starter Jordan Fuller. He's out. The other starter, Taylor Rapp, might be out as well. He's in concussion protocol. So Weddle, who's 37 years old, signed. He retired after the 2019 season, which was his only season with the Rams. But he was a six-time Pro Bowler and a two-time All-Pro during his career with the Chargers and Ravens.
Somebody pointed out on social media the Cardinals should respond by, in turn, activating Adrian Wilson for this weekend's game, for Monday's game.
That's been a lot longer layoff.
Yeah. He's busy with interviews.
Yeah, it's true.
He's interviewing for GM jobs. Mm-hmm. The Suns, due to some scheduling tweaks by the NBA, don't play again until tomorrow night in Indiana against the Pacers in the second of their five-game road trip. Of course, that trip started with a four-point win over Toronto on Tuesday night. The Suns also signed forward, and one of the great names in the history of the NBA, Paris Bass, to a second 10-day contract. Bass has seen end-of-game action. Don't call it garbage time. End-of-game action in two games for the Suns, wins over Charlotte and the Clippers, a total of 6 points and four rebounds. Games of note last night in the NBA. Cleveland beat Utah 111-91. I'm only pointing this out because the Jazz are getting healthy and they've still lost four straight. And I love when the Jazz lose. I don't know. Am I alone in that?
No. That's good.
Brooklyn pounded Chicago 138-112. James Harden had 25 points and 16 assists. And the Sacramento Kings handed the Lakers a 125-116 loss. De'Aaron Fox had 29 for Sacramento. And did you see LeBron's comparison? He thinks the Lakers can be just like Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers from a year ago.
Oh, really?
We started out bad, but we can win the whole thing.
Yeah, they turned it around in week 13. Is that what the Lakers are going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's. I suppose it's conceivable. As it is right now, I'm really enjoying watching this attempt to be a super team, part nine.
Yeah, floundering.
It is
pretty glorious.
It's so great.
Portland Trailblazers star guard Damian Lillard undergoing surgery today to address an abdominal injury will be sidelined indefinitely. They don't think it will be a season-ending surgery, but without Damian Lillard, they're probably lottery-bound. Mm-hmm. Coyotes notched their second win in their last three games. They beat the Maple Leafs last night 2-1 at Gila River Arena. Ryan Dzingel opened the scoring in the first period, then broke a 1-1 tie at 12:42 of the third. Coyotes made it stand up. Karel Vemelka, continued his strong play in net. 45 saves on 46 shots as the Yotes get their eighth win of the year. They end up their homestand at 2-2. Now they got back-to-back games against Colorado, one in Denver tomorrow night, and then home against the Avalanche on Saturday.
I thought you were going to say one in Denver Friday night, and then the other one sometime late February.
Well, that's always a possibility, too. Things could change, Jarrett. ASU men's basketball was supposed to play tonight against Utah. That game was postponed, and it's been rescheduled. The Sun Devils and Utes will now face each other Monday afternoon at Desert Financial Arena, if the power works, at 2 o'clock. The Devils' December 30th game against USC that was postponed will now be played on Monday, January 24th in L.A. That's a 9 o'clock tip. There is college basketball in the state tonight. They are sixth ranked, right, Arizona?
Yes.
The Wildcats will host Colorado at 9 o'clock in Tucson.
9 o'clock.
GC.
9? What?
It sounds like I used to scoff at people that would complain about tip times like that. I'm not even joking you, Bick. I was looking for something to do last night, and I'm flipping through the channels, and I tweeted about bad sports movies, and somebody suggested one that I hadn't seen in a really long time.
And you went and watched.
So I found it, and I started watching it, and I fell asleep about 20 minutes in, and it was before 7 o'clock, and I was like, I'm going to bed.
Wow. Wow.
9 o'clock tip in Tucson. GCU takes on Abilene Christian today at 7. And one baseball note, veteran lefty pitcher John Lester has called it a career. He announced his retirement yesterday. Lester, 16 years in the big leagues, mostly with the Red Sox and Cubs. He won
World Series champion, man.
Yeah, won rings with each of those teams. Five-time All-Star, finished with exactly 200 wins. And I'm seeing some stuff around the internet. Is there a Hall of Fame case for John Lester? Never won a Cy Young.
No, I mean, it's
200 wins is impressive in today's landscape, but you got to draw the line somewhere,
Listen, I tell you what, I understand that Hall of Fames are just museums. That's all they are. They really They're as important as you want to make them.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me some sports are starting to get very, very liberal in their approach
Absolutely.
To bringing in Hall of Fame players, and it's ruining it.
Yeah.
They're bringing in a lot of good and pretty good players.
Without a doubt.
Instead of all-time greats.
Without a doubt.
But then again, if you want to use the comparison thing, and here we are, and I know there's other factors involved in the voting results, Curt Schilling's got a much better resume than John Lester, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kurt might have opened his mouth once too often along the way.
Including telling voters not to vote for him. I mean, that might be a factor, but I'm just saying, if you compare the careers.
I'm somebody who believes Curt Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm also somebody who has had a lot of confrontations with Curt Schilling. I'm able to go past one and recognize the other. So I feel very comfortable saying this. There was a story that listed the top 10 most controversial things Curt Schilling has said. Oh, boy, that's a list. When you see the chronology.
I haven't seen the list. Google search upcoming.
You think after the seventh whack take, you'd get the point that, you know, maybe I should shut up.
Yeah. There you go. There's your splash for Thursday, January 13th. Coming up next, J.J. Watt is back. Or is he
He's
back?
What?
We'll get into all of it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals Championship Chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Yeah, I don't have a feel either way. It's been a while since he's been out there, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. He's done everything he possibly can, like I said. Weight room. Training room, there's nothing left for him to do in there, so it's time to progress out on the field, and we'll see how it goes this week.
That is head coach Cliff Kingsbury yesterday addressing the media, asked about whether or not he's optimistic if J.J. Watt can play in the playoff opener Monday night against the Rams, in typical Cliff fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of information given away there, but J.J. Watt himself spoke to the media yesterday, and he was asked about his conditioning level, Bick, and he was pretty honest about things. And here's what J.J. Watt said about his own possibilities of playing on Monday night.
In terms of conditioning level and what I'm going to be able to accomplish, A, my legs were fine. So I was out there running. And as soon as the doctor allowed me to run, and we were out there running and doing drills. So no worries from that standpoint. And from a performance standpoint, I'm not going to put myself on the field if it's going to put my team in a worse situation. So that's not even a question, because that's why I'm doing the tests that I've done the last few weeks. That's why I'm going out to practice and practicing first, obviously, because I'm not going to step on that field if I'm not able to do the things that I need to do to help us win games. That would be detrimental to the team, and I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, he had surgery on November 3rd. So you're talking about November to December, December to January, like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
2 months of rehab, which is way ahead of schedule. The question for the possibility of J.J. Watt being out there just comes down to how solid is that shoulder in after 2 months of maniacal rehab? Because what he is asked to do on the football field without limitation is to use those shoulders in a big way to get leverage. And if he can't do it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I think J.J. Watt approaching it that way, I think, is the classic case of an athlete saying, listen, this is not, I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm not trying to gravy train the situation. I'm not trying to be the story going into the game because I'm suddenly returning. Because keep in mind, J.J. Watt's returning is going to take defensive snaps away from somebody who has been in this battle since week 7, since when he went down. And I think everybody's cool with that as long as he can perform. So I think what he's saying there is nothing more than making it clear to everybody, this is not a publicity stunt. This is not something I am doing for my own enjoyment and my own reputation. Because you've heard that frequently, time after. I would never do anything to hurt the team. I would only return if I could help the team. I don't think this story plays out the way it's played out if he wasn't going to give this a shot. It would seem very not J.J. Watt-like for Monday to roll around and him to go, Okay, and for him to suddenly end up on the inactive list, I don't see that happening.
It feels like they wouldn't have even, why put him out
they wouldn't
for the
even
media?
Bother. Exactly. And the way this thing came out from Zach Allen on social media with JJ chiming in, and then JJ was out in front of the media on a Thursday or a Friday, which led to another round of stories, and then it became a thing. Given all the buildup, I would be stunned if he was not on the football field Monday night.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe a lot of these questions that linger right now will be answered to a greater degree today. Probably so, with him out on the practice field. Go ahead, Sarah. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say it's all too orchestrated for there not to be something larger coming.
Yeah, that's very well said. That's exactly what it feels like to me. It's way too orchestrated.
And it's not the first time that J.J. Watt has done something like this during his career. 2019, while a member of the Houston Texans, missed a big chunk of the regular season, but was able to rehab, get back. Texans had two playoff games. He was very impactful in the first of those two playoff games, but he reflected yesterday on what he learned from that experience a few years ago.
It just shows that it's possible, and it shows that you can do it, and I think that having gone through that made me understand and makes me know how it all works, and I think that obviously, I've sadly been in quite a few doctor's visits and appointments and know how the anatomy works and how the surgeries go and what things you can push and what things can be pushed to the limits and what things you can't push to the limits and when you should back off and when you should be very careful. So I think having a in-depth knowledge and understanding of how to go about the process and knowing when to be smart and when you can be aggressive was very important. But I mean, you look back at that 2019 one, that game, the first game that I came back for in the playoffs was the home game against the Bills, and I think we were down like 16-0 and we came back and won that game. So those are the things that you come back for, and that's why you play the game, for those moments, to win those games. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity, hopefully.
Yeah, the Cardinals have had two games this year against the Rams, two very different outcomes, two very different sets of ingredients to lead to those outcomes. Week 4, Cardinals dominated. J.J. Watt was on the field. The later matchup at State Farm Stadium was a Rams domination by a shorthanded team. But J.J. Watt also talked about that formula for success back in Week 4 against the Rams that he was part of.
I mean, we played well. I mean, obviously we played well right from the get-go in that game. I think the defense played well. The offense was putting up points. It was we're very confident. We were very focused. We're very assignment sound. We played good football. We were resilient. We overcame adversity extremely well. We had an edge to us. And I think that when you step on the field with confidence because you practiced well, because you had good meetings, because you knew what you were supposed to do, because you're ready to go, and you take that field with confidence, and you know that no matter what happens in that game, every game something's going to go wrong. Every game something's going to happen where it's a back and forth. But when you're confident in yourself and when you're able to overcome that adversity and persevere, that's when you're truly a great team. And I think that we did that well, and I think that we've done that well many times this year. It's just a matter of now taking that and doing it in the most pressure-packed setting there is, the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the possibility of getting him back, we're all pulling for it. You know, if you have an interest in the Cardinals doing well, it's a great story. Mm-hmm. He's obviously one of the most accomplished defensive players of all time. And let's face it, if he can go, the Cardinals need the help because of the way their run defense has been exploited at times.
It's been really up and down. I agree. And it's been really bad at times. And I think it's been been courageous and good, almost good enough at other times. I do agree with that. The only way J.J. Watt does not play is if he cannot win at the line of scrimmage. And by the way, wouldn't a more apt term be line of skirmish? Because I know
that's like a wolfliness.
Well, scrimmage,
because right?
The definition of scrimmage is a battle, but it's also used to define a practice game, right? Scrimmage. That's practice.
You just coined a phrase.
Line of skirmish.
There's only one person that can make this happen,
right?
Initially.
Mm-hmm.
Keep using it.
Yeah,
see if it takes off.
Yeah, see if it sticks.
The first,
right, Basinonians.
The first definition of scrimmage is a confused struggle or fight.
Okay. And isn't there a practice application of scrimmage? Okay, whatever. Let's not get sidetracked. I drove us in a ditch here.
Engage in a simulated game.
No, I remember when I was playing sports growing up, and you're going to practice. That was kind of a drag. But if you were going to practice and scrimmaging,
it was a little more fun.
Cool.
It's kind of a game. Like not really a game, but kind of a game.
It's a pumped up practice. Right. I like
exactly. So he wouldn't take the field if he knew he was going to get pushed backward. Yes. If J.J. Watt thought he was going to get manhandled on the line of scrimmage, he would not return. And he's been practicing on the side against offensive linemen, so he's obviously been testing his strength, and he clearly feels good about that. So I think there's no question he's going to play. The question becomes, would it be better to give, I don't know whose reps he's going to take. I would guess it's Leckie Fotu or Rashard Lawrence.
I guess those guys will get in the mix. I wouldn't expect J.J. Watt to come in and play 75% of the snaps.
No,
it'll still be
not.
A rotation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to pick and choose your situational spots to use him.
Because you would not create this narrative and anticipate the energy transfer of J.J. Watt coming back to have that,
because let's look at that possibility, too. Where it's at right now and the way that's orchestrated is the perfect word. If he can't go, it's a total bummer.
Total. Yeah. So you're at risk of deflating your entire team.
Yeah. Now, I will say, though, for 3 weeks, they did continue to put Kyler Murray out in the media, him saying that he feels good,
and then he didn't play once
game time came.
That's true.
So there is that element of smoke that they like to put out there, but I don't think this is like that.
Jarrett Carlin reporting J.J. Watt will not play.
He's back!
You can text your thoughts on the J.J. Watt situation to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, J.J. Watt, not the only Cardinals player that has questions about his Monday availability. We'll get into some of the other absences or possible returns next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Rondell's a special talent. I think we've all seen that. He's dynamic, unique, in space, all those things. Really gives us a spark. So it would be great to have him back if we can get him.
That is Cliff Kingsbury yesterday with the media talking about the possibility of getting Rondale Moore, the rookie wideout, slot receiver, kind of do everything offensive weapon for the Arizona Cardinals. He's been out for a while. He got hurt during the Lions game back on December 19th, has not played since. But I don't know. We've talked about the offense changing, and Rondale Moore's status for Monday night is still up in the air, Bick. But we've talked about the changes in the appearance, the output of the Cardinals' offense recently. And I think before the injury, Rondale Moore was kind of like the advertisement for that, where they had used him a lot and he had put up some big numbers. But the three games that he played before the injury, Chicago, the Rams, and Detroit, he wasn't much of a factor. The average yards per touch were way down for Rondale Moore. I'm wondering if the time off would have an improvement if he can come back. If they recognize their error in usage with Rondale Moore, if he comes back and he's healthy and ready to go. I don't know. There's a lot of questions there with Rondale Moore's place in the offense right
now. Because a lot of his stuff has just been a lot of short stuff around the line of scrimmage, trying to get him the ball as if he were a running back and seeing what they can do in space. A lot of it is eye candy, in my opinion. I'm not sure if that's the best way to use somebody with that kind of speed. Because it would seem to me, especially now that DeAndre Hopkins is not around, you need to get spacing on the football field. You need to stretch out a defense. And having Rondale Moore hang around inside that little tiny rectangle, I don't know if that's the smartest thing to do.
I wish they used him more almost like Cooper Kupp, like have him do slants across the middle so he's catching the ball in stride, not catching the ball on, standing still and then trying to run.
Right. Exactly.
Even going further back more on this point on Rondale Moore. Over his last 9 games that he played, 33 catches for 165 yards, 5 yards a pop.
Yeah, but there was a very small moment in the season where he was making really big plays, like once per game, like one really big catch downfield. You remember that sideline catch he made? You were calling somebody was calling it was one of the greatest catches they've seen ever.
Yeah.
Handful of games, it felt like, oh my goodness, they found the real weapon here in the draft.
First 5 games, the usage was much different than it has been.
Yeah, to be quite honest with you, what my hope is, and I don't know whether or not I'm setting myself up to be disappointed with this or not, but what my hope happens to be is when they take the field Monday night, there's going to be an element to this offense that's been in the works for weeks, if not months, and it's something new and effective. And by that, I mean to say that they have planned ahead for this moment, that they're not going to try to ham and egg their way through a game against a division rival and see what works. When you play a team a third time, the Bills have got the same issue with the Patriots mm-hmm. this weekend. It can be very, very difficult because you do not know what's real, especially if the two games you played previously were sort of like dichotomous, if you will, if they were kind of polar opposite, which they
Cardinals,
were.
Cardinals-Rams was, definitely.
And same with Bills-Patriots.
Yep.
And so you don't know what's real and what's going to work. So so my hope is that there's been a lot of forethought in terms of how we're going to attack that Rams team, and it's nothing that they've seen on film just yet.
Yeah, and on that subject, and since the game, the disappointment, it hasn't worn off completely about the Seattle game, about squandering a chance to be the division champions. But I think there's a lot to be said about playing a division opponent in the playoffs, and the possibility was there, had the Cardinals won that game, that they would play San Francisco in the first round of the playoffs. That's a division opponent they beat twice. Different looks in those games.
Yeah.
They always say it's really hard to beat a team twice in your division. It's really, really hard to beat a team three times when you have to play them.
Yeah,
so they avoided that task.
I agree. That's a real vexing question. Who would you rather play in the playoffs, the Rams on the road or the Niners at home?
I'll tell you a lot of ways with that.
Yeah, I'll tell you Monday night. That's sort of like this question that's circulating the NBA that I can't wrap my head around. If you were starting a franchise today, would you want Giannis or would you want Ja Morant? I can't get to an answer with that question. Just like this whole thing about the Cardinals-Rams or Cardinals-49ers. Look, I don't know which team is more dangerous.
On your basketball question real quick, Ja Morant is a freak.
Mm-hmm. But you would go with Giannis?
He's not the Greek freak.
Yeah.
Giannis is the pick.
Okay. And Giannis is still in his prime.
Yes.
It's not like it's LeBron or Ja Morant or something.
Yeah, true.
The thing about the 49ers are... It's not like the Rams are struggling into the playoffs. They lost... last week, but it's not like they've lost four out of five like the Cardinals.
They were lucky to beat the Ravens a week before that.
They've eked out wins, which is a credit to them, but they have not played their best football down the stretch despite their wins.
No. So, but they're very dangerous. I'm not saying they're not. It just, I don't know if the 49ers aren't more dangerous at this point in time. You don't, like Vinny said, we'll know Monday night.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and it's one of those, it could go down to just like, who's better, Garoppolo or Stafford, when the chips are in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Kingsbury also asked about updates on other players that have been banged up on the offensive side of the ball, including three running backs, James Conner, Chase Edmonds, and Jonathan Ward, all up in the air.
Yeah, once we get out there Thursday, we'll have a better idea. But as of now, I would just say day to day. I don't know how they're going to progress as the week goes on.
That's a huge question. When you have three guys and one guy who's carried the ball this year, that is healthy and available. You have no questions about his availability in Eno Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Eno Benjamin guy, but you don't want to go into a playoff game with him as your option, though.
No.
Ideally.
That to me is one of the top five concerns for the Cardinals going into this game. Exactly what is the state of their running game? Because I do believe they have to be physical, and I do believe they have to be balanced. As we talked about yesterday, and we will continue today, I do think that there's an element to Kyler Murray's game that he has to unlock and embrace this weekend. But that being said, James Conner, and they're both equally important to me. They are both equally tough. James Conner is bigger and stronger, so he can use his toughness in a more effective way. But he's no tougher between the ears than Chase Edmonds is. They're both really tough dudes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that to me is one of the foremost concerns of this football game, the health of their running back room. Because you're right, Eno Benjamin lining up as a featured running back is not probably the safest, cleanest route to victory.
It might turn out to be a revelation, but again, going in, it's not the ideal circumstance.
No.
On the defense, there's questions about availability, too. At cornerback, Kevin Peterson got banged up last week. Breon Borders was pressed into duty. It did not go well They're thin at that position, which is not also not ideal when you're going up against the Rams. Cliff Kingsbury updated the Kevin Peterson situation yesterday.
We should know more on KP today. And then with Breon, you know, that tough spot going in, like he did, with limited experience in our system. But we like what we've seen in practice. We just got to keep working there.
Yeah, man, the Cardinals are not alone in having these questions about availability going into the playoffs. But it just seems like a long list of question marks. And some of those we know won't happen. We know that DeAndre Hopkins will not return this week for as little a possibility as that probably realistically was. Mm-hmm. It was squelched yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's not like the Cardinals to really squelch anything, so he's probably a ways yeah. off from return.
Right. Yeah, I always thought that was really yeah. just gamesmanship. It's when he's on crutches in week 17, it's...
You're right, though, for them to not even go with the try, you know, game time decision. We'll yeah. have to see how he looks through the weekend for right. them to not even go that route.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They won't even close the book on Robert Alford yet.
No, and he's another guy that really strikes me as being a ways off.
Yeah.
We're heading closer and closer to wild card weekend in the NFL. Six games on tap, including Cardinals-Rams. A loss would be most costly for whom this weekend in the NFL? We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Oh, lots of Cardinals talk coming up, not only today, tomorrow. More preview on Monday. Full recap. Our man Bickley is going to be in Los Angeles Monday night.
Oh,
so full
yeah.
recap on what amounts to a Big Red Tuesday.
Yeah.
We got you covered for Cardinals-Rams playoff talk. In fact, today on our show, Bick, from 8:15 to 8:45, Red Bird Roundtable. Tyler Drake, Dave Burns will join us
nice.
To talk some Cardinals and some
Tyler
of the big
Drake
angles.
Also will be in L.A.
That's right.
He is.
That's right. Bick's got a new travel partner on the road.
We got you covered, baby.
You're like a mentor to all these young journalists, first with Kellen with the Suns playoff run, and now with Tyler. This is where you really leave your stamp on the next generation.
Here's my,
is that what it is?
Here's my advice to those young journalists on the road. Do as Dan Bickley says, not as he does.
Don't try to keep up.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm joking. Six games on the schedule this weekend in the wild card weekend. The Tennessee Titans and Green Bay Packers will have their feet up watching all the action to see who they get to play in the second weekend. Two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, and of course Cardinals-Rams on Monday night to cap the weekend.
Before we get into the specific games, can I just ask you guys, what is your opinion on this current playoff format, since this is the first year that they're doing this?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of?
How many teams make it, only one team getting a bye.
I like that, actually. I don't have much of a problem with that at all. I think it puts more importance on the regular season and rewards consistency more. I got no problem with that.
I think it's very funny that you asked that question, because just last night I was thinking about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and all of this, and I thought, you know, I really hated the idea of how inequitable this is to the second best team in each conference and how just one team gets a bye. The more and more this has kind of begun to play out, the more and more I think this kind of is ruthless in the way that football needs to be ruthless. One team gets that prize. And so, because, think about this now, one team hoists the trophy. Where have you heard that before? That's a great cliche, right? Every team but one is going to end the season with disappointed.
Uh-huh.
My point is that something that at first I thought, okay, this is not right. It's imbalanced, and this is just a precursor until we have 16 of 32 teams in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, true.
But for now, I'm kind of actually digging that.
And in terms of having the Monday game for the first time ever,
yeah.
I hate it. The more I think about it, the more I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Going in, whoever wins on Monday night, Cardinals or Rams, they're going to have a short week in the playoffs, which I think is inherently unfair.
Yeah, that is unfair.
And is it going to play out that all the Saturday teams are going to play next Saturday and all the Sunday teams are going to play next Sunday, or can that get screwed up also? Because it's weird. They're having Saturday, Sunday, and Monday games for the playoffs.
I guarantee you they would not do that. They would. In fact, you know what? Do we even have Saturday playoffs in the second round?
We do, yeah.
Okay.
There'll be two on each day.
All right. Yeah, then, you can guarantee that the winner of Monday night's game will play on Sunday. There's no way they would do it the other way. But here's the deal, too. They get the day on the front end. They get a day to get healthier and to prepare more on the front end. So it's not all bad. I do agree with you. It's not ideal, especially, you know, you're going to go play a really good team in the second round if you're the Cardinals.
But going into the big picture of the weekend with the 12 teams on the field, a loss this weekend is most costly for whom? I think you have a list of candidates here. I think you got to throw the Cardinals' opponent, the LA Rams, as a team, and there's individuals, certainly Matthew Stafford, if he doesn't play well, and the Rams lose, I think that's got detrimental effects to that franchise.
Well, they went all in. They went all in this season.
Absolutely. They didn't go all in to get knocked out in the wild card round.
No, they went all in to win this Super Bowl in their own stadium. And don't discount what that means, because if the Rams flame out, they're going to have to live with this for the next few weeks because the season ends in their stadium. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be lingering. It's going to be a lingering deal. So I think clearly who pays the most for losing this weekend? Matthew Stafford's number one. Not even close, in my opinion.
Yes.
Because of that. Because everything that people assumed about him, because of all the, he's going to be liberated, he's going to be paired up with Sean McVay. If they go one and done in the playoffs, he pays the biggest price.
Because of what the Rams gave up to get him.
Sure.
I would venture a guess number two on the list might be Josh Allen.
Exactly where I was going with it. Josh Allen has been fantastic. Now, the Bills did hit some speed bumps this year, certainly. But a home game, a weather game against the New England Patriots, a division opponent, and it sounds weird to say it, but there's not a ton of expectation on the Patriots to do much in this playoff because of their first-year quarterback. This is the third straight year Josh Allen and the Bills have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's played poorly, but they haven't achieved the ultimate goal of reaching the Super Bowl. And if they were to trip up in the wild card weekend, it might get noisy
without
for Josh
a doubt.
Allen.
Without, especially because you endured that embarrassing game against the Patriots. You rallied from that with a sturdy effort, and you beat them. Now you got a playoff game at home. You gotta catch that.
Ticket. I don't want to steal your thunder because maybe this is your number three. But you put it that ahead of Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
I do too. You know who I put number three? I put number three? I put Mike McCarthy. I put Mike McCarthy ahead of Dak Prescott is what I do. Mike McCarthy has had one of those years that has kind of made people go, what is this dude really all about? Is this guy really any good at all? And if the Cowboys, lose to the 49ers, I can almost guarantee you Mike McCarthy will make three or four really stupid moves. And I think he's got more on the line than Dak Prescott. Dak's had a good year. I don't think he loses that much if they don't win this game.
Yeah, and I think, the fact, the Prescott factor, you have to consider coming back from the injury. It's in the rearview mirror now, but, they weren't a playoff team a year ago. Let me tell you who else I got pretty high on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't expect this. Rich Bisaccia.
Really?
Anything in terms of expectation team-wide for the Raiders or the Bengals in that game, quite honestly. Somebody's going to win and move on. But Rich Bisaccia gets included in all the, there's seven coaching openings in the NFL, the Raiders being among, it's not open right now. But it could be if the Raiders go in there and don't play well and don't look buttoned up or prepared. That could cost Rich Bisaccia an opportunity to coach that team full time.
That could be. Okay, I'll buy that. I think Cliff Kingsbury's top five, definitely, because of the second half collapse narrative. Yes. And it doesn't matter how it looks like, 3 months from now, if they lose, it'll be five of the last six.
Does Kyler factor in?
I think somewhere, yes, I do. Because I do believe that on a lot of levels, this is going to be a moment, I think, as we're going to get into coming up here, that Cliff Kingsbury has taken the spotlight and shined it right on his quarterback.
But it's also funny, though, that the second half collapses with the Cardinals, we say with Cliff, but Kyler was a part of the second half collapses last year and this year as well.
Yeah.
Can I give you one more name?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's a good one.
But their mind is basically made up on him anyway.
But he's well, he's playing maybe for a future job then, or to prove them
guess
wrong.
Yeah.
Or to
Jimmy,
he's
Jimmy Garoppolo
for next contract.
But he should feel pretty good about security somewhere in the league. Not in San Francisco, but don't you think he's proven enough to be a starting quarterback somewhere in the NFL?
Yes.
Even though the 49ers don't want him around?
Yes, but I think, Jimmy Garoppolo's on that list, because if he takes him back to a Super Bowl, how do you ditch the guy? I mean, how do you trade the guy for Trey Lance?
Even if he wins on the road versus Dallas, like if he wins you a playoff game on the road after
winning a division with a messed up hand?
These are all good submissions. I like this because it says pressure is definitely in there. I don't think there's much attached to Pittsburgh, Kansas City, because I really don't think... Mike Tomlin wins regardless, I don't think Kansas City's in danger.
I think also the way they made the playoffs, Pittsburgh, was sort of like now they're playing with house money.
The Steelers have no chance. Their quarterback even said so.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
I just want to play that real quick for you. Ben Roethlisberger having some fun. Hold on. Let me shut off this autoplay function that I can't find where it's playing. There we go.
But they're the number one. We're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years, arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance, so let's just go in and play and have fun.
I kind of like the attitude.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it's going over in the locker room, because not everybody on the Steelers roster is playing their last game in the NFL, potentially, but we shall see.
What time is that Pittsburgh-Kansas City game?
That game is Sunday. That is the night game, 6:15.
Oh, yeah, stunning.
On NBC.
When you got those two fan bases, that's a ratings monster right there. Yeah. That Pittsburgh-Kansas City game is going to put a crazy number up on the board. I think the Rams-Cardinals will put a crazy number on the board.
I think so, too.
I think San Francisco-Dallas is going to have a huge number. Yeah. Huge.
It's going to be a fun weekend, no doubt about it. Coming up next, you talked about that light that got shined from Cliff Kingsbury onto his quarterback, Kyler Murray. We'll tell you exactly how that happened and what it means for the Cardinals moving forward. That's next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.